grand statement about feeling at home in the Lord. Feeling at home in His church. And you're in this building that we have here that we assemble ourselves in. Feeling at home. You know, I thought, I made the statement to this person that I was talking to that, you know, if, when people come in to the Lord's house, we certainly want them to know and understand that it is truly the Lord's house. We want them to see the manifestation of the Spirit of God working in His people. We want the evidence shown out to the world, to those that might come and visit. You know, we want that evidence and that proof shown to them because there's something that they're lacking. They're lacking a feeling of understanding. They're lacking a feeling of truly being home in the presence of God and in the presence of God's people. The Bible teaches us that many times that for those that are lost, that those there's a contrary feeling to those people. The Bible tells us and teaches us that that a carnal mind is enmity with God. And if you haven't been saved by God's grace, the only way that you can know God is through your mind. Through what you possibly have read out of the Bible or what you might understand somebody to teach you about an almighty, holy God. That's all that you know. But you've never experienced or you don't have truly a true understanding of feeling God. Of like I do this morning, being able to feel at home in the Lord and the presence and the Spirit of God as He manifests Himself in the singing of these songs and in our prayers as we worship Him this morning. There's truly a feeling of home. Now granted, this is not our home. One of these days we're going to have a home. The Lord is going to prepare that. And I'm going to read these things out of the 14th chapter of the book of John this morning for our reading lesson and look at some of these things. But while we're here on this earth, the Lord adds to His church. The Bible teaches us that the Lord adds to His church. That through and by His Spirit, He directs those that have been saved to be baptized and to be added unto His church. And if all these things are not done, if you're in, say, the wrong church, then you're not going to feel comfortable when the Spirit of God is working. If you're not baptized, then you're not going to, there's going to be a sense of discomfort in some way because you haven't done those things that God has commanded you to do. So, we want to look at some things this morning, and like I said, my thought this morning is simply about feeling at home in the Lord's church. And I hope each and every one of us today can do that. I hope we can all feel that. If you're visiting with us today, I hope you, and you haven't been saved, I hope that through and by some of the things that said and through and by the songs that sung, that you will know and understand that we are a people that love the Lord and that we worship Him. Spirit and in truth. And that's the only way. That's the only way. God is a spirit, and those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Without the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, you can't do that. You can't feel at home in the Lord because there's no presence of spirit in your life. There's no presence of spirit in your heart that will, the spirit will not bear witness with things because you cannot spiritually discern. You cannot spiritually understand the things. You can see these things and you can possibly read and get a good knowledge of the things of God's Word. But there's only so far that you can go with it. The spiritual part of it is where things shuts off if you haven't been saved. And I'm going to take, like I said, I'm going to take a reading lesson this morning out of chapter 14 of the book of John. I'm going to start reading in the first verse, and we'll read maybe over the 16th, 17th, I don't know yet. John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And wherever you go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long a time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And he will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I'm going to stop my reading right there. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he was, I believe they were trying also at this point to figure out just exactly what he was talking about the Comforter, about the Holy Spirit, about a Spirit of truth that dwells with those of us that have been saved by God's grace and gives us a spiritual knowledge and understanding of God. He was telling them, that was asking him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll suffice us. It'll be enough if you just show it to them. He wanted them to know and understand that he was in the Father, that Christ was in God, and that they were in Christ. There was a relationship. There was a bond there that was brought to them. There was a spiritual bond that allowed them to be able to see these things and understand these things. In the teachings of Jesus, I guess some of these things can go pretty deep. Sometimes we believe that in the Trinity, or the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that they are three, but yet they're one God. How that works and just exactly how to explain that, that's a tough one. That's something I believe that is beyond man's comprehension in these things, to know how, just exactly how that works. But you can know and understand from God's Word that's the way it is. That they are three, but yet one. They are all God. And they, each one has their part that they play. Jesus wanted them to know, he wanted them to know that he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, but by him. He was the only way. He was brought into this world to pay a sin debt for this world. You know, we live in a time that I think some things was read out of the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs 16:25, it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of things that man may think in his mind about as far as what God is and what God might be and what he's supposed to be and what he's supposed to mean and how is it supposed to affect my life. There's a lot of things that man has concocted up in his mind. Just what is God? Who is God? But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. There's no other way. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. That's pretty plain and pretty simple, isn't it? That means if anybody tries to get into heaven any other way, I'm talking any other way, I don't care how you slice it or dice it or whatever you want to call it. If you want to call it a different religion, a different belief, anything, however you want to put it, the Bible plainly states that there is no other way than through Jesus. Through repentance and faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Point blank, period, dot, end, exclamation point. That's it. There's no other way. But that's old Proverbs says that there's ways that seemeth right unto man, but the way there end up is death. We know that all throughout the Bible that the Lord has manifest himself. And from the beginning of creation, and he'll continue to manifest himself until the very end. Jesus was telling us here in this 14th verse that there's going to come a point in time in his life where his life was going to end. That he was going to die and that he was going to be seated on the right hand of God, but that you would not be left comfortless. That I will leave you another me, a comforter, the paracletus, as it is in the Hebrew or the Greek. The paracletus, that another me, another Christ. There's the Holy Spirit of God is going to be here in your presence to guide you and direct you. So all through down through time, there's been manifestations of God. We can go back over to the Old Testament, and we can find where God spoke to Abraham in a burning bush. We can find where God spoke to Jacob and gave him promises. We can find where Jacob wrestled with a man one night. And he held on. He was wrestling with this man or this angel. He wrestled with him until he found peace, didn't he? Each and every one of us that walk in this world, I believe, have a visible manifestation of God in some shape, form, or fashion in our life. God has made manifest to himself to this world. We can look over in the book of Romans and we can tell that the stars and the moon and the trees, they show that there is a God. These things that the Lord brings forth, he lets us know that there is a God and that these things were manifested by him. The glory that shone about. You know, in the Old Testament, God had, he set up a place to meet with him. In the beginning, he gave them instructions to build a tabernacle out of these animal skins. That they were to build this tabernacle. And in this tabernacle, this was where that he would meet with his people. That his glory would come down. And there would be a presence and a manifestation of God that would meet with these people there. And that they would be able to know that and understand that. You can go on over and you can look in the temple when the temple was built. When the last thing that was done.
and the smoke that filled the room, there was a visible presence and a visible manifestation of God there. God showed his people that he was present. He showed them from the very beginning, and he will show them till the very end. I believe that he has set up his church here upon this earth as to be, you look back at the Old Testament, and that is a type and a shadow of the church today. I believe that today is the church is the visible manifestation of God. When the people of God are working and the Holy Spirit of God is working his people, I believe it is the light of this world, the Bible tells us. That the church is the light of this world. Not the building, but the people. The congregation of baptized believers that have come together in one mind, in one body, in one accord to worship God. That is a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit of God. The Comforter that Jesus Christ left us when he died and ascended to be seated upon the right hand of God, to be a mediator between God and man. He left specific instructions when he left about, I am the only way. I am the only way. If any other way, we can go over to the parable. If anyone tries to get in, other than by that, they're a thief and a robber. They're a thief and a robber. His glory has shone about all throughout this time and this life. If you are truly a saved person and you are a member of the Lord's church, you're a part of a family. And when a person's at home and they're with their family, they feel at home. And you feel a part of a family. You feel a part of a group. And in a family, there's things that to you'll inheritance. There's an inheritance to gain in families. As we think about some of these things, the Apostle Paul in the 26th chapter of the book of Acts, he talks about, as he talks to King Agrippa, and telling him his testimony of salvation. He told him, starting in the 14th verse, he said, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus. Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for you to kick against the bricks." So basically what the Apostle Paul was saying right there was that there was a manifestation of the Spirit of God that was showing him something that made him uncomfortable, didn't it? There was something gouging him. There was something that was poking him. There was something that he was uncomfortable about. He was not at home. He did not feel comfort. He did not feel peace. Because the Holy Spirit was working upon him. As we read on, we look. "But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee." So, at this point,
and it's always to build up, that it's never to tear down. I think that's what it's supposed to be. I think being a Christian is supposed to be a positive thing. I think it's supposed to be a happy thing. So many times, seemingly, it doesn't appear to be that way. But I believe with all my heart and soul that it's supposed to be the best thing in the whole wide world. And I'm so glad this morning that I am one. And I hope that I can hold to the end goal, to the prize, to the reward that's coming to us one of these days. That we can keep our eyes focused upon these things. And that just that God would bless your lives and your families. That He would save your lost. I truly hope that more than anything this morning. Because I love you all. God bless all y'all. This morning, that's my message. I thank you.